on other projects, or?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a year or two, but I mean, they did know a few.
When you read all of our minutes, too, this thing, this whole thing, the $4,500 was for them to determine the scope of services. They've already been employed and paid, I'm assuming.
No, I don't think they've been paid.
Okay, well, you may not have executed it, but I just read back to July, and this is, that's the whole buildup in our minutes of all of this stuff. And what I believe happened today was they presented the cost to the commission. So the engineers did exactly what you said, presented the cost, and they approved it.
They didn't approve the price, but they did. In the note, I mean, they basically did. But they didn't.
Well, they said they wanted they have your proposal, and they said they accepted the full proposal.
That's the way I understood it.
Yeah.
But I think they intentionally left out the price because they want to see if there's any other prices. Is the impression I got.
Any other prices of?
Well, the original motion was actually to send it out for bid. If they wanted to do the whole matrix, the all 41 projects, they wanted to send it out for bid. And after we kind of talked about it, we said, we can't bid it. And they said, well, this go through an RFQ process to make sure we've met all the requirements. But that's kind of my one concern, I guess, is if you send this out for RFQ, I mean, you basically say we're looking for an engineer to build this priority matrix. It's a lot of stuff that's in it. It's kind of stuff we've done, you know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it's not really proprietary, but in a sense, it's...
Yeah, you've already did it, you know.
All it is now is sticking the numbers in itself.
Yeah.
Well, the engineering parameters that are being evaluated, too, we feel are crucial to the issues that are out there in the field. Our chairman asked us to go out, each one of the district members, and survey and look at critical locations and intersections that is a big one. But some of them have bubbled up to being near-term safety issues. It's good to study these things and make sure they're equitably evaluated all on the same basis, and that's what this HDR proposal provides for, plus the engineering parameters for looking at traffic counts and site distances and those kind of critical things. But we'd like to get it expedited, put on the fast track if possible, because at least on the list of District 5, there's about 5 to 7 potential projects. But there's a couple of them at the top of the list that are accidents looking for a place to happen. Mm-hmm. And so we would like to keep things moving and get the assessment. We're confident that the assessment that's done will bubble up those locations. And then we can get them addressed and get them fixed. So that's part of the push to expedite also.
And I'm hearing you saying something along the lines of potential emergency. When the purchasing process has to be put aside due to an emergency situation or potential emergency situation, you just need documentation for that. And I've run into that in a couple of instances where the generators go out on the air conditioning system for the jail in the heat of the summer. You know, we can't afford to take even a week to bid out something like that's replacement. So that's categorized as an emergency purchase. In that instance, for the sake of keeping legal in the process of the RSMOs that govern the purchasing process for the county of Taney, then I just watch for documentation. And so when they went out and bought that generator or whatever the parts were to repair that, you know, for the safety sake of the inmates in the heat of the summer, we had documentation to support that purchase that the generator.
Well, I'm not sure it would qualify or bubble up as an emergency condition, but certainly it's more than just a traffic flow or a development that's going to be a benefit to the public out there. It is, we believe, safety issues. So
that's a key factor. I will definitely include that in my thought process as I make a recommendation to the commission.
I think we set the safety as a high priority our last meeting. I know we did because I brought it up. So I don't know why that shouldn't come into play here, Ron.
Yeah.
From that standpoint.
But
are we kind of treading in new waters here? It's the reason why I asked what's the criteria for going through this process. I would think it would already be in place. Evidently not.
I think they're just wanting to be safe, or they don't want me to take a second look at it, you know, and all the parameters. I'm not sure. I haven't talked directly to any of them over that. Just what Travis has told me, and, you know, that's the reason I came into your meeting today, is to find out what your situation is. And
the other thing we find ourselves in here is this. We've spoken with the commission, at least formally, I think, on three occasions about this. But what comes out of that is they say, all right, we need to see something about what you're talking about. Well, unless the volunteers at this board set their life aside and go devote themselves to be traffic engineers, somebody's got to do that. Mm-hmm. So that gets done, and that starts bringing an agency along. Well, then all of a sudden you get down to where the fact where they can make some money. Now, we've met the commission's requirements all the way along by providing something. And this isn't just to the commission. I'm a city administrator. It happens to under the same public contracting laws. But at least at some point, you've got to have some people who have done professional work. Then you get down to the end and you say, okay, well, you're just right with everybody else. Take your chances and bid it or submit your qualifications and go. Well, I don't know about that, because eventually nobody is going to step up with us and say, hey, we'll help you along here because we're invested in the process. And then at the end we'll say, well, thanks for the help and take your chances with everybody else. That's not in the public's best interest. What they have done already has been a great value to the public, and if we set that aside in the contracting process, I'm not saying short-circuit the contracting process. I don't even know that this isn't a sole-source provider situation because they have all the proprietary information and they own it. We haven't paid them a dime. So it's theirs. They can walk away and say, take that last year and just start over again.
Right.
So I don't know that that's in the public's best interest. Now, and I agree with being safe. I think it needs to stand up to scrutiny, but I think there's a lot of compelling things here that have done that. And the other thing is, it would be helpful if this was going to be the end outcome before this all happened, that we would have looked at this 6 months ago prior to them investing all that stuff and said, well, let's take a look at this and maybe you can compete with everybody else. Because we've had engineers in this gallery, we've had this discussion and selected them, voted them. So it isn't like there has been no discussion about who's best qualified to handle this. Now we're down to it. We need to be appropriated the funds. And
Joe, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think by MoDOT, if we were at this point with MoDOT and we had to go through an RFQ, we'd be disqualified. We did free work for you. So in my mind, we were kind of already past the whole RFQ process.
And I think for most of us, we probably were, because we've been working with them all the way along. The question that's negotiable was the contract price, whether or not that was fair and customary. But at this point in time, now we're at the 11th hour, and all of a sudden we say, well, let's go back and redo this. And that's an awkward position at this point for all of us. You know, I'll say for me, and I'm assuming HDR. The rest of you can speak for yourselves.
But that's the reason why I asked if we were creating new waters here. I thought all the prelims would be out of the way.
Yeah. I mean, this is
kind of. But
you know, all I can say is reiterate what I've said.
Right.
I've received all your information. I appreciate the feedback and the details and the comments. And
do we have a time frame that we may hear back from you as to what your thoughts are?
As I said a few minutes ago, I'll give a recommendation to the commission on Thursday. That's their next official meeting date. And I can get on their agenda, actually on their agenda with several projects on Thursday. And I'll be happy to make a recommendation to them at that point in time on how I feel about it. Because my job is simply to make sure that I meet the legal ramifications of how the RSMOs dictate how Taney County spends the money that the taxpayers provide. And I assure you that that's what I will do. And make a recommendation to them, and then you'll hear from them at that point in time. But I know this commission is thinking along the same lines as you are as far as what's right for the citizens and safety and everything else. And I lived in Branson, like I said, when I first sat down here. I'm right in the middle of a lot of those areas that you all are concerned about. So, for sure, I appreciate that strongly. So, if you have any questions for me, otherwise I'll step out and let you guys have your meeting, or if there's any other concerns that I need to know about, feel free to let me know. Travis knows how to get all of me. He's got my email and everything.
Thanks for your assistance.
And so does Randy, who was trying to get all of me pretty easily, too. I'm sure we'll do this the right way.
Thank you. Thanks.
Well, there was a meeting.
And I'm glad you were all here and wasn't just me talking. Well, I'll do that. Hopefully we'll take all your comments and your advisement and do what we all want, and then we'll see. And we'll find out Thursday. Our agenda for today also had any new or old business on it.
About the, you said, you know, in the minutes you said the closing of the bridge.
So we can have that as a constant discussion topic. And are you, Beth, do you have any update on the Pennycumber Bridge here for a second?
76.
Yeah, 76.
I don't have much information, but we are not planning on closing the bridge. We're looking at other alternatives to approaching some type of bridge and repair work that would allow us to not close the bridge.
Okay.
What that may do is it may push off the repair year that we repair the bridge for like another couple of years, because it may cost more. So we're going to have to get some more money together to address that. But I have been told by our assistant district engineer, Dan Salisbury, that we are pursuing avenues that will involve not closing that bridge.
That's good.
A pretty good outcry from the community, and yeah, got to look at detours and
the new 65-248, Beth, that has one about as smooth a project I've ever seen go.
Construction-wise, yeah.
Yeah, just the construction, that was just, I mean,
the flow. The phasing worked out pretty good.
It really did. Yeah. Really good.
I think the gentleman that was working on that bridge out of the Branson office had worked on at least one other DBI. I think Russ had worked on one or two up in Springfield, so that helped.
What is the relative timing when some action would be taken?
He did not give me a timetable. He just told me that I think they had it listed as fiscal year 14, and that would probably be pushed off to 15 or 16 somewhere. They're just starting to look at it again and see what they can do different.
Well, that's good news.
And we're bringing new people into the district too. So
I've been swamped with everybody. Over Cedar Creek, you know, you can imagine.
A detour would have been a killer.
Oh.
It's almost unrealistic, the detour.
Especially if you live in Cedar Creek, you know, but they could have. And they were wanting to go to Branson, you know. Mm-hmm. To Forsyth, no problem, but to go to Branson, they'd have to go.
Yeah, it'd be more problematic than the Hollister Bridge. Because at least there we had the 65 bridge that was just a few miles away.
When you run the numbers on those kinds of detours, though, they're astronomical. That was a 6-mile detour, and that was something like $1.4 million in private fuel used during the 1 year that bridge would be closed, with 21,000 cars a day. I think this count over here is something more like about 7,000-8,000 on F. Is that
what
it
is? Surprise me.
Yeah, something like that. So it would be something, but it would be approximately, it's in the millions of how much that would go around in the length of that detour. And then the school bus stuff, that's an hour each way, so 2 hours a day for kids, that seems to be almost insurmountable. It's just a difficult kind of a situation. And that's part of the compelling reason why we needed two bridges in each of these areas, so that if you have to close one for maintenance or even reconstruction, you still have an alternate. Where, because if we had, even in the downtown area, if we had the 1914 bridge still left, and then the other bridge, we could have repaired the old historic bridge and still been all right, because we had an alternate. And ultimately, I'm assuming that Forsyth somewhere is going to have to do something. when we looked at the downtown bridges, we looked at a T-highway bridge as a, instead of that and some other alternatives. The bridge themselves were between 20